I am sure that I am speaking to a crowd of people who have hardly any possessions. There may be one or two of you who do not, and God bless you. But if you're like me, you probably over the years have accumulated a lot of stuff. A number of years ago, when I was married and who had two teenage children, not that teenage girls would collect anything at all, we had decided to move to New Zealand, my husband and I. And so we went through the process of trying to downsize. And I know many of you are going through that in your lives at this point in time. Now, we had a lot of stuff. We had my stuff. We had David's stuff. Then we got married, so we had our stuff. We had the two children's stuff. He had kept all of his deceased wife's stuff in case the kids wanted it. We had stuff inherited from her family and from his, and then his aunt died just before we moved, and we inherited all of her stuff. This was rather stuffy, as you can appreciate. We had a large enough house to contain it all, but I did not realize until later just how full the house was until we had a yard sale. So this drastic downsizing went from the two girls moving out on their own to the two of us moving with one shipping container to New Zealand. We weren't keeping anything in Canada. And so the worst task of all, I think, was for the girls. Jessica was 17 and Vanessa was 20, and they had a copious amount of stuffed animals, like hundreds of stuffed animals. Their birthday falls on the same day, and so they usually got double the amount of gifts because people felt bad for both of them that they had to share their birthdays with each other. And we overheard a conversation that we were on the main floor and they were upstairs. We said, "You have to sort this, and whatever you want, you need to take it with you to wherever you're going." So we overheard Jessica saying, "Right, let's just get rid of them all. I don't need stuffed animals. I'm 17. What am I going to use them for? I may never get married. I may not have children. I don't need these things." And Vanessa saying, "What are you talking about? These are full of memories and importance. And we can't just throw them out. They symbolize people's love and care for us." At this point, I'm thinking, this sounds like Jessica, which would be me, and David, who would be Vanessa, arguing over the stuff we're going to take to New Zealand. And so it went on. It didn't stop there. Jessica said, "Yeah, right. I bet you don't know who gave us this." And Vanessa said, "You were given that when you were two by Auntie Pam. You didn't like it, so we kept it in the back room for a year, and then you loved it a year later, and it would not part from you for an entire 6 months." And Jessica said, "Well, I don't remember, so throw it out." In the end, I didn't arbitrate. I don't know what they ended up with. I don't know if they were happy with their decisions about what they kept and what they got rid of. We all try to keep things to a minimal level in our lives, I think, but all of a sudden, the story from Luke can become very close to home when you're trying to get rid of your stuff. It's not very easy. How do you choose what to keep? Just those utilitarian things that you know you're going to use? Or what about those things that make you happy? Or what about all those things in between that make you feel secure and in the knowledge that you are who you are? What are the criteria? Is there a family connection, a special memory? Or do you do as my former husband did at that point in time in his life, keep it all and forever, and let others figure it out when the time comes? The rub about the story from Luke and the reason it hits home is that we don't think of our possessions as greed. We think of them as extensions of ourselves. They are meaningful to us. They matter deeply. And there's nothing inherently wrong with that. But you need to notice for the man in the story, the determination of what matters has everything to do with only one person, with himself. It has absolutely nothing to do with anyone else, and that's the crux of the issue. He says, I don't have enough room for my stuff. So I know I'll get pull down all those old barns, pull up new ones, and then I'll have room for everything. And I will say to my soul, soul, you have ample goods laid up for many years. Relax, eat, drink, and be merry. It's not very often in Scripture we hear the person referring to themselves. Soul, what do you think? I think this. No one else is involved until God intervenes. Perhaps our criterion for possessions in the end should not be about what we get together, what we amass, what makes us feel secure, but that what we have has meaning. And that meaning should be determined by what it does beyond ourselves. In some ways, Vanessa had it right. Those things, those stuffed animals the girls had, meant something to them. In a family where their mother had died when they were very young, they meant family to her, the oldest child. And it was very important for her to select some of those things from each of the times in her life up until her 20th year that represented those periods in her life. Because by doing that, she could be fully herself and then enter into other relationships. Now, Jessica, when she was 2, when her mom died, they didn't really mean that at all. She had a loving dad, and she had a sister who acted like her mother. And then she had me when she was a little bit older. So for her, those possessions weren't what she needed. She had that, carried it in a different way. So they were both right. But to have kept it all and not gone through the process would not have worked. Many times we hear this parable preached about as all of us should just give up everything and give it all to the church, and I'm not going to tell you to do that this morning. Because it's not really about that. It's about giving ourselves to God. And that means not just our physical possessions, it means discerning what about us do we need to keep and hoard and hide away so that we'll feel better later on? And what do we need to give up because it gets in the way of relating with others, ministering in the world, and being God's vehicle for love and peace? Because that stuff is actually harder to give up than the physical things that we keep, our possessions. That baggage is what we often call it in psychosocial terms, is harder to deal with. It's much more difficult because most people can't see it. It's like those rooms in your house, and I know you all have them, or at least a drawer that's a total and total absolute disaster. You know the place where you throw stuff? My father had one drawer in our house. He was very neat and tidy, but there was one drawer that if you opened it, I could find nothing. But he knew exactly where everything was in there, and that was his messy drawer. We all have messy drawers in our own lives, whether it be our possessions, but also in our hearts and our souls and our feelings and our relationships. And those drawers we also need to sort out, because some of those things are helpful to others, and some of them are not even helpful to us anymore. Some of them hold memories and a structure that help us live and breathe and move, and others get in our way. What we have and what we keep defines us, and it is a measure of our relationship with ourselves and with God. And so, for instance, as last week I preached on, or last week, I can't remember, we talked about our General Synod. And it was 2 weeks ago. Fundamentally, part of the argument that happened at our General Synod about the decision to include same-gender marriage under the law, canon law, was exactly this. That there's some stuff for some people that got in the way. And for others, it wasn't important. It was a Vanessa and a Jessica. Some could only think of their own selves and what it would do to them and their experiences on both sides of the matter. And others were trying to work out a way that we could all come together and each give up maybe something, but for all of us to gain something together. The church is like this all the time. We are selective sometimes about who comes and receives the Lord's Supper. We are selective about who we baptize and marry. We are selective at one time in our church about who we ordained. We were selective about who we remarried or didn't remarry. But all of these things have changed and are changing as we change, as we move on, as we pack up and move to other places in our world. The fact is that our resolve that bigger is better and the more programs for everyone is better is not right. We as a church, we as people, we in our own homes all need to decide what is important, not just what can we accumulate. So we have to give up some of our possessions that are meaningful to us. The ones that maybe you really want to keep. The ones, the people you really want to be there. The ones who make a difference in the world. Those are the ones we really want to keep. Whether that be like the barn guy, which is how one of the commentators refers to the fellow in the scriptures today. He wants to keep all of the stuff he owns in his place, under his guard, and not share it and not talk about it with anyone. We want to do that too, in our lives, in our places, in our possessions, in our church. But the kingdom of God is a communal reality, and everything that we have needs to exist for us and also be something that exists for the world, because that's who we're called to be. Those items that we hold close to our hearts shouldn't be kept there if they don't benefit at least one other person in our lives. As you know, if you don't love yourself, you can't love anyone else. So we need to keep that love, keep close to us, and then we are able to share it. Now, I need to tell you that over the past 5 years, I've accumulated more stuff since I lived here. It's funny. I go open a cupboard and go, how did that get full? And it would be challenging for me now to go through and see the additions, to go through everything if I took it as an example in my life and analyze, does that really help? Does that do anything? Does it hold meaning for me that helps me in my life? Or is it just there to make me feel better? Maybe I'd let some of the stuff go, and maybe I wouldn't. But the point is, when I buy something new now, I try to go home and think, okay, if I had to buy something new, then I have to get rid of something. And maybe that's one thing we need to think about in terms of our personal baggage, in terms of our community, in terms of our church. If we're going to do something new, what do we need to let go? Because we can't have it all. We can't build a barn big enough to hold everything, everything we ever had and everything we ever wanted. And so for us as a community, for us as people, that's our task, to be discerning. And according to Jesus, when it comes to letting go of what we hold on way too tightly, what can be has the potential of ushering in the glory of the kingdom of God. That's what we're called to do. So good luck with all of your stuff, and may we as a community make wise decisions around our stuff, and may we hold it all to the grace and glory of God. Amen.